Anyway, let me shift here. This is Janine Koch. She is an assistant professor at INRIA, INRIA Saclay. And I've known you for, what, 5 or 6 years now? Something like that. And I've been really interested in your work in terms of thinking about how we create human-computer partnerships. And so I will give you the floor.
Thank you. I think I have to speak a little bit closer to Mike here. Yeah, thank you, Wendy. Thank you for inviting me here, and I'm very happy to talk about like my work that I actually did a lot with like Wendy also in collaboration. And as Wendy, I'm an assistant professor at INRIA Paris-Saclay and her lab. And so while also looking at human AI collaboration or partnership, my work is actually very much focused on how to actually explore abstract ideas and concepts, which is also what I will talk a little bit more about today. My talk basically looks at first a little bit giving a background, what is actually exploration. Then I will give like particular examples about the ideation process that I will focus on in this talk, and then actually show how we can actually explore ideas with AI system, different approaches to that, and we'll finish up with kind of like other examples of using exploration as kind of a goal process in human AI interaction. And so now I will start with what is exploration itself? And I will actually start with a very like down-to-earth example, because I think every one of us knows the situation where you go into a store and you vaguely know what you would like to cook tonight. You don't really know what it is in the end, but you have like this idea, something maybe with vegetables and so on. So you stroll through the aisle, looking at different options, different spices, and by selecting some of them and excluding others that you're maybe not so much about today, you actually get a better picture of what you want to cook tonight, as well as the final recipe that it will be in the end. And if you think about that, this actually, this little scenario already explains a lot what exploration is in itself. The main aspects of exploration in general are considered that you have an initial intention or idea, like you want to cook something tonight, that you don't have a predefined goal. So you don't know what you want to buy, you don't know what you want to get, but it's rather an iterative process where you kind of select parts, you exclude other things to kind of understand what are the aspects you like, in computer science often considered as the underlying parameters, to kind of get a solution that you actually are interested in. And this is basically how I define, and also in this work, define what exploration means. And this kind of process is actually not specifically tied to any particular domain. Exploration happens in a lot of domains, from creative ones like graphic design or web design to advertisement, product innovation. Exploration is actually is a part of a process that is applied in very different domains. But for the talk today, I will focus especially on the aspect of brainstorming and gathering ideas, and how we can actually build systems that help us explore ideas in this context. Which brings me basically already to my second point I want to talk about a bit today, which is the ideation process in itself, how we actually gather ideas, and what's the process that's behind it. And I think brainstorming, most of you have had a brainstorming session probably in your professional life or even private life when it comes to like personal endeavors, which is a very common process basically where different people come together and try to search for new ideas or inspiration for a given purpose. And it's very, very common in domains, for example, like design or business, where people actually try to find different directions to solve a given problem. And looking at the creative practice of design in particular, which is the focus of my talk today, we can see that finding good ideas to existing challenges is very crucial, because ideation often happens quite early in the whole process of developing a solution. So it actually has a very large impact of everything that comes behind it. So getting a good idea in the beginning often is the key attribute to a very successful product and solution in the end. And if we look at creativity research, looking at how people actually gather inspiration, there's like three main sources of inspiration I want to kind of present today, which is also a little bit how my talk is wrapped around. The first one is probably the one that most of you are most familiar with, which is external sources of inspiration, which is like looking at art pieces, looking at kind of nature, searching for examples online, looking at pictures that you find that kind of remind you on something as a source of inspiration. But beyond that, a lot of research is also talking more about the exploration through collaboration of ideas and inspirations. There's actually a lot of like cognitive science research about and around the idea of collaborative creativity and distributed creativity, which I will come back later in the talk. And the last one is about looking at reflection and sense-making as a way to actually find inspirations, especially based on your own experiences, but also associations you have with other topics based on previous projects, objects, and other things. And so if we look at the different aspects of like exploration, we actually can quite often distinguish these three different points, like finding an idea, expanding an idea, for example, with your collaborators, and then reflecting on an idea. And in work we have done in previous studies, we looked and asked and interviewed designers and professional creatives how their experience with these three tasks are. And the first one, finding an idea, we got a lot of feedback that it can be actually quite hard to find good ideas or good material inspiration. And one aspect of that that is here very crucial is that there's actually a large amount of sources of inspiration, as inspiration can come from everywhere. And another aspect that is actually kind of impacting that is that the way we find inspiration, especially in the digital world, looking at search engines and so on, actually make it sometimes very hard to find the material we are looking for, because they actually often ask to express ideas, intention in a verbal form. However, when we talk about expanding ideas, discussing with collaborators, quite often the understanding the intention of your collaborators and contextualizing their ideas is something that is very ingrained in the way how we're actually interacting from human-human perspective. There's a number of psychological and cognitive approaches underlying this process, which is often referred to grounding through conversation, getting like a common understanding of a product, and the attribution of theory of mind to another person, which often relates to understanding where they're coming from, and basically this helps humans to contextualize ideas. The last one, reflecting on ideas, is actually rather, it's not very easy, but it's actually a practice you can learn. And a large part of, for example, study programs like design spend a lot of time on actually like learning the practice on reflecting on ideas, on personal experiences, and abstracting concepts. But if we go on the other side, looking at what systems are good at, we actually see that there's we actually see in general that finding materials, finding suggestions for system is actually rather easy. Like nothing of that is simple, but it's like easier compared to humans. And to some extent, as you can probably know, a lot of suggestion engines from Amazon to Spotify to Netflix, they're not always right, but based on history of interaction, they actually can make selection suggestions. And this is basically mainly due to their large analytical power of looking at different types of sources. But if we go along the line to the right, we actually see that, like for systems themselves, it's actually very hard to detect something like context, intentions, or actually summarizing very diverse concepts, as it often requires some kind of data or contextualization that is hardly available. But if we look at this overview, we can see that there are capabilities of systems and capabilities of humans which are quite complementary, which actually highlights this opportunity of human AI collaboration for these kind of processes to kind of combine that and using the strength from both sides to kind of work on that. And research has highlighted that the level of automation, which is shown here on the left, like from human-based to computer-based, available through the design process is quite biased towards the later stages of the process. And this is basically because in the beginning of kind of design processes, when you actually start defining and ideating what you want to achieve, this is often considered rather tacit knowledge of humans, which is constantly changing and evolving. And most algorithms and machine learning approaches are actually struggling a lot with this kind of early stages. However, this changes as soon as we actually have goal parameters, which makes it more explicit and allowing more defined machine learning approaches. But we actually think, given of what I just presented, that there's actually quite a potential to looking at human AI collaboration, especially for these early stages of the process, where you actually can combine these two and by that kind of overcome some of the challenges that I just mentioned before. Which already brings me to the third and probably largest part, where I will talk a little bit more about these three ideas I presented before of sources of inspiration and how to actually support them in collaboration with AI systems. And I will start with probably the stuff that we know most about, which is external ideas. Well, if you actually talk to designers or artists, they usually start out with very vague, very rough ideas about certain concepts, for example, geometric shapes, art pieces, and so on. And having this in mind, it sometimes can actually be hard to find this material as a like artifact, for example, in form of a picture or image using the current approaches of a search engine, as it requires you to have what you have in mind to actually formalize it in a way that a search engine would understand. And this is mainly due because search engines themselves are optimized to give us the perfect match to what you're writing in, but if you don't know what you're actually searching for, it's actually not a nice way to approach it. And we try in our work to kind of look at this aspect and find a more like practice-oriented approach, a human-centered approach, how we can actually overcome these kind of limitations. And so for many of the work that I will present today, not solely, but many of the work, I will actually use visual design ideation as an example. And then, my headline is missing. In professional design, a very common way to actually do brainstorming is especially especially for new and innovative problems, is to collect visual materials in form of collage, which might be actually digital or physical, so both exist and is highly used. They're often called mood boards. And this is because a picture can sometimes communicate moods and intentions way better than words. And it also allows designers to kind of explore alternatives beyond what they actually can describe in words themselves. So in our work, we actually did a number of surveys, observations, and workshops to look at the current challenges of technology to kind of relate to the process of searching for visual ideas. And like the four key aspects where we actually saw the main challenges I brought here today, the first one is that if you look at how people work together and talking about visual material, it's quite often referential, meaning that, for example, one collaborator would ask another collaborator to find an image that is similar like this particular one, but maybe a little bit more abstract or a little bit more expressive, or can you find this is a little bit more colorful, and to kind of convey a certain meaning. Most technical approaches actually do not allow nowadays to kind of make this referential aspect that humans are very naturally do. The second aspect is that because it is so hard to kind of use search engines, quite a number of designers go back to like platforms that are particularly made for designers. For example, like Behance, in graphic design, it would be Dribbble, and other kind of platforms. However, a lot of designers notice that this is actually quite challenging because, as I said, the inspirational source has a lot of impact on the final product. If we all look at the same sources because they're built for it, we actually limit our ability to find different alternative solutions that might be actually better in the end. So the third one is that we looked actually how search engines work. And search engines, as I said before, are actually optimized to kind of find the best match to a particular input. However, while there is some development, for example, in Google Image Search where you can add an image, what you get in the end is where does this image come from and other images that are similar to that. It does not allow you to modify it in any way, to explore something else, to get something that is opposite to it, that gets something that is an alternative to it. And the last thing that I would like to mention today is the limited context adaptability. And what I mean with that is we all know the sentence, a picture can say more than 1,000 words. But if you actually reword this meaning, it means an image can mean 1,000 words. An image, depending on how you use it, can mean very different things. You can use it as a reminder of a certain location. You can look at it as an atmosphere. You can look at the structure inside. You can look at the color. One image can actually mean a lot of things. And systems we are building today usually focus on the interpretation more as the contextualization of material like that. And so in a project that I was working on with Wendy McKay and Nicolas Staffan, we tried to find ways to basically better assist designers in translating these kind of like vague ideas they have in their heads to more kind of like search-friendly terms that current search engines kind of understand. And it is based on the underlying assumption that images carry meanings, often also called semantics, and color that could be made accessible to the designer and basically reused for search to kind of get more nuanced results and search approaches afterwards. We built a system called Semantic Collage that allows to combine verbal and image-based as semantic search. And in the system, it's a normal search engine behind. You can type in words, but in addition, you can also add images to combine words and images together. But what you especially able to do is you can see what the image means to the system when you search for it, and you can actually adapt the meaning to your particular use case that you're currently looking at. And one aspect that you have already seen here is that what we did is we actually went away from how systems are built and looked at the process and said the idea between search and building collage is actually one thing. You search for it, you interpret it, and with the interpretation you search. So by doing that, we actually close this loop between the engine on the one side and the interpretation on the other in one system. And what happens underneath is that every visual material on this so-called collage or mood board is actually translated using an object recognition and semantic labeling approach to a list of semantics that basically can be extracted from this image. The system then actually selects a subset of these semantic labels, which are then attached to the image and made accessible to the designer. So the designer can not only look at it, but the designer can also increase the relevance of a certain label, or for example, say, this is actually not what I'm meaning right now. And with that, the designer can actually do what you have seen in the video, can basically like move the image, one or several images, and basically say, I want to have this image, this aspect, this image, that aspect, and combine it with words, and by that actually allow designers back this idea of actually referential combination of images. And we conducted a study with like professionals, designers, and using a rather realistic setup. And the majority actually preferred the semantic search over these non-semantic engines. And the reason was that most designers mentioned that it produced higher quality results that were better aligned, aligning the search with their intention and thoughts they had when they actually tried to search material. And with this example, I would like now to move on to actually look at beyond personal inspiration to inspiration through collaboration. And prior research into creative cognition has already shown that engaging with other designers' ideas about problems can help to stimulate new ideas by extending or combining your space, because you might think about something I don't think about, and the other way around. By discussing and you presenting your idea, we actually can combine this potential, often referred to as distributed creativity in research. However, if you look at most systems out there, they do not really provide this kind of external perspective. And while there's a number of work where out there now that kind of looks at how users can work together, we actually took another approach and thought about, well, what would it mean to actually, if your collaborator would be a system? And coming up with this idea, we actually kind of found four crucial features that we kind of identify in this process, which AI system that actually wants to collaborate with you to find ideas should have. The first one is a system like that. In order to build a system like that, we have to identify what is actually the ideation space. What are we actually talking about? How do humans understand this space? We kind of look for solutions, because ideas and inspirations are not independent of each other. They actually are very much related. And this relationship you can actually use to explore things that are different. You can exploit directions which are similar to that in this space, which actually has to be also be able to, for a system to actually be kind of a collaborator that extends your understanding and not only tells you what you already know. The third aspect is a system like that should be able to evolve ideas over time. Current machine learning approaches are actually not necessarily used for aspects like that, as you usually have an initial training set, which is trained and then basically used in the practice. But the idea of like ideation and actually exploration has this timeline that actually shifts over time, where the end goal is actually quite often very different from where we started. And the last aspect is how to actually explain suggestions or surprises from the system. Because if you think about, if you do brainstorming, your collaborator usually doesn't throw a word at you. They actually tell you how it relates to what you're currently doing, how it is different, and what they want to achieve with that. But due to the lack of algorithms that we could identify to actually be able to handle evolving collaboration, we actually built our own system that was able to explore and exploit different directions. And so I will quickly go through a project that called MayEye, which I developed with my colleagues in Finland together a few years ago. And in this project, we actually try to build a machine learning algorithm that actually is able to do exactly that in this context. And in the beginning, we had to identify the ideation space, which we basically divide into two parts. The semantics is already, as I explained, using object recognition semantic labeling. And the visual aspects, we actually interviewed and surveyed a lot of professional designers to better understand how they understand visual differences between visual inspirational material. And then in order to kind of make this system work, we actually used an approach called cooperative contextual banded algorithm, which was originally developed in the mid of the 2000s by taking it all for actually a very different purpose, which was actually sensor networks. But what we did here is we used this approach to explore visual space, which actually observes the visual values of a collage. And here this is a simplification, but basically it could say, okay, your collage is very colorful in pink and green. Let's keep that as an example. And based on that, it actually has probability distributions that point to similar visual features, basically to continue a visual idea, or to very different features, which actually means to explore new ideas. And combining that with semantic understanding based on the current mood board, the system did an image search query to find a suitable suggestion to the current collage, which was then suggested in an interface. And the probabilities were updated based on the designer's reaction and allowed the system to evolve with the designer. Now, evolving is a thing that actually we kind of discovered on the way. And what we did here is to enable the system to actually evolve over time, we also had to consider that the ideas earlier discovered might become less relevant. Similar to, for example, when you receive advertisement suggestions from things you bought 5 years ago. So what we did is we used a human-based model of forgetting, the so-called Ebbinghaus forgetting functions, to emulate the behavior of forgetting over time for the artificial agent. And with that, the suggestion was also was created and stayed relevant to the current process. And in addition, we also built an explainability engine on top of the whole system, which actually relates the suggestion to the current collage, which means it's not explaining what the algorithm does, but how it actually contextualizes it in the current process of the designers by, for example, saying, this is very different from what you have. This is complementary of what you're currently looking at. So we integrated that in a rather realistic mood board design tool which actually observes the designer's interaction and then suggests relevant material, which then basically regularly trains over time the algorithm. On top of that is the communication of the relevance and the reasoning for the suggested material based on this more grounded-based approach. And we also kind of gave the ability back to the user to kind of steer a focus, saying, I want to have more of that, to kind of encourage the algorithm to actually focus a little bit more on this approach. So we conducted a study with 16 professional designers, where we actually saw that 25% of the final images were actually contributed by this artificial agent. And designers actually mentioned that it encouraged them to refine the ideas or try new ideas, because some of these suggestions were actually very surprising but still relevant to their process. And hence, it was often perceived as kind of like an insisting contributor to the process overall. And with that, I would like to come to my last part today, which is about how to support reflection and sense-making in ideation, and how to use it, and how to support these internal sources of inspiration more with systems. And to kind of give a little bit background on that, when we talk about sense-making overall is the process where information are translated into knowledge through contextualization and reflection. And here you already see the connection between sense-making and reflection. And researchers have highlighted that this is particularly important when it comes to exploration or inspirational processes overall. And work from Piroli and Card in already 2005, they already started to kind of mapping this kind of like very abstract process into like a few steps, which basically refers to finding material, like data sources, inspiration, combining them, abstracting them to rather larger concepts or schemas, as they are also called here, and then basically finding the narrative around them and to kind of find also alternative perspectives, finding aspects that are currently missing, and with that basically closing the loop. And even though this looks very linear here, this is rather a back and forth all the time, where you collect ideas, find patterns, like generate topics and collect more ideas. But the question is, can system actually support this process, and how would that actually work? And in order to investigate that, we set up a visual ideation tool called ImageSense that allowed several designers to work together, to collaborate together with artificial agents and also other types of tools. And these actually four tools that were included here to support the different parts of the process that I just showed you, sense-making process, I will quickly introduce in detail before I come to our results. The first thing was Image Cascade, which is a serendipitous browser which has categorized high quality images, which is basically referring to something like the external sources of inspiration. It's very independent of the mood board. It literally is a catalog of good, high quality material of inspiration, basically to find and collect data sources for your approach. The second one is helping designers to identify alternative perspectives, or what is, for example, currently missing on the board. We integrated an intelligent agent called Suggestomatic, which is an improved version of the MayEye suggestion agent that integrates more semantic content analysis and other aspects to actually show what kind of alternatives are there, like showing other aspects to explore. In order to help designers to summarize and creating larger abstract ideas, we actually looked at different ways of how to actually help the reflection process of the material that are there using machine learning approaches. And the first one is actually, so we included four different levels of abstraction here to help designers to go from the material at hand to larger abstraction. The first one is related on the semantic labels that are currently on the collage, basically summarizing them and highlighting what is currently most dominant. The second one is going away from what you're actually doing, looking at associations to what you're currently doing, to the semantic labels, using word association engines, which were trained by human relevance and associations. To kind of abstract that more, we use text classification algorithm on the semantics to kind of find more overarching themes, helping designers to basically have combine diverse material and kind of create more meta topics, which not only allows them to kind of create better, to help them to create their stories around this material, but also seeing, for example, aspects that are missing. And last but not least, we actually went into looking at how we can basically reflect emotions that might be there from a visual perspective. So designers in their practice quite often refer to things like color to feeling dictionaries, which basically means that what does a color basically represent? This can be in itself a source of inspiration, but also a mean of expression. In order to kind of show alternatives around that, we use these kind of dictionaries to kind of translate the current state of the mood board while in practice. And to kind of emotions that can be reflected in here. And finally, the semantic search that I explained earlier will also include to better help users to express themselves based on the existing material. And with this work, we were actually very interested in how these different tools could actually impact the process that I explained and what role they can actually play, considering a very realistic design process and example where we actually combine several human designers as well. Because one of the problems we see often when we talk about human AI collaboration is also that it can be very artificial in a one-to-one, very tiny setup. What we try to reach here is have an as realistic process as possible with several designers working for 45 minutes together with these systems to kind of have more rich understanding. And we conducted a study with 9 professional design teams where they collected images together, composed different mood boards, reflected, annotated different aspects of it, and finally actually presented these mood boards to us. And we kind of, the evaluation was done using screen recordings, semi-structured interviews, and also questionnaires in the end to better understand how this interaction with the different tools, with different purposes, helped them. And the results were that designers very clearly associated certain needs, times, and tasks within the process to these different tools, as we kind of expected. And what we found quite interesting is that when people talked about their use case, it was actually very complementary to the role of the other designer. For example, it was very easy to discuss a certain topic with the other designer, but if you run out of ideas, systems like the artificial agent actually help to push new directions, which is actually hard if you kind of get stuck even in a conversation, how to actually get there. An observation we did, which we found actually quite interesting, is also how people appropriated these systems to actually better understand human-to-human interaction. What we saw was that some of the people actually chose the images added by their collaborators, put them back into the semantic search to see what they have searched for in order to get there, to better understand their reasoning for the suggestion itself. So introducing these kind of tools also helps human-to-human interaction as much as it kind of creates this human-AI interaction. And with that, I kind of want to kind of get a little bit like away from how to explore ideas, but also how to use this exploration approach in other domains beyond ideation. As I said earlier, there's like a lot of domains where exploration actually plays a key role, especially in the early in the early phases of projects. And another thing we're currently looking at is how to actually support exploration in software development. And what I mean with that is, for people that are familiar with machine learning approaches, know that there's not only very different classes of machine learning approaches, but within them you also have a large amount of different algorithms, approaches that you can use. So our idea is like, or basically what we're currently working on is like, how to explore machine learning models in itself. So what that means is like, how can we actually, in the beginning of a machine learning project, say which algorithm we want to use in the end? What are the features this algorithm should have? How can I compare different approaches, different algorithms? And basically, before I even start the process, and how to kind of explain the difference between models, which usually are considered very, very different in isolated tasks, but actually can be explored underneath. A different approach where we look at, for example, exploration is in the context of graphic design. And then a work we are currently working on in this case is actually looking at how to explore typefaces with artificial agents. Because if you ever have looked for a type, like for a font, for an invitation card, for a professional purpose, you hardly looked for a sans-serif font of a certain, with a certain kernel between the letters. What you looked for is probably something like a very playful font, a very contemporary, very, very funny, very friendly font. But actually, if you look at how systems work, if you look at your Word program, if you look at professional Google font overviews, they actually don't work that way. They actually ask you for the different features. So the question is, how can we actually make this space? And the first question is again, what is the space itself? How can we make that explorable with systems? How can we actually compare these fonts with each other and make a system explore them, make a system exploit them, and how can we actually explain their differences so it makes sense for the human user interacting with the system, and not necessarily only for the system talking about the tiny length difference of the serif. And with that, I kind of brought you the main sources I worked for this. I brought for this talk. The slides will be online later, so you can have a closer look at that. And I would like to finish my talk with that.